Hello and welcome to this week's Michigan District's Thought Leader Podcast. I'm Jeff Heisner, the district's digital media director and video journalist, and today we're talking about servant leadership with the Reverend Dr. Rob Casper, who is assistant to the president, along with a long list of other titles here, including the CMMF for the Metro Zone, intentional interim trainer and administration, deacon pre-SMP and ministry assistant, training school, and we could go on forever and ever and ever with all the things that you've done, including 28 plus years as a parish pastor, leading ministry teams and doing so much more. Today, we are talking about servant leadership. What do you think is the definition of leadership?
Yeah, I think getting a working definition of leadership is maybe one of the first things that we need to do, because you can read a lot of leadership books and they're going to say kind of the same things. That leadership isn't so much position as it is influence. And my experience has been that influence can only come through relationships. And quite frankly, those relationships can only happen through shared experiences. And the bottom line is, shared experiences take time. Mm-hmm. And so leadership takes time. You may be appointed a leader of something, but you have to kind of intentionally develop relationships and have shared experiences, even as you're working on the project that you're leading.
Expand on that just a little bit here about the shared experiences and taking time.
You need to be intentional about that, especially if you're going to be challenging this group or this team to accomplish some things that they haven't accomplished before. You're going to be going into maybe some uncharted territory or trying some new things. There's a bit of risk in leading any team. So shared experiences builds trust, builds relationships, and that gives the leader opportunity to get the credibility and the influence that he or she needs to move forward. The bottom line is, leaders go first. They go first in a lot of ways. They go first in initiating those relationships. They go first in engaging people. They go first to engage the problem or the challenge. They do the research, they do the study, or they see to it that it's done. They have to take the lead. They have to initiate those things. For the organization, they almost need to be, while a part of the organization, they're kind of outside the organization, mm-hmm. so that they can look at it objectively. That's a problem with a lot of leaders who've been in the same position for a while.
Yeah, and that's not easy to do because you're right in the middle of everything, right?
Right, and you can get enmeshed in some of those sticky relationships that maybe those relationships are so tight they're not helpful anymore. You need to step away so that you can be objective of a new situation or a new problem that presents itself. Leader also has to be first to dream about a solution. He doesn't have to be the one that has the answers, but he's got to be willing to say, here's the problem, here's something that might work, or here's a way that we can approach this. What do you think? And then he invites the skill set, the experiences, the gifts of the people that work with him on the team to bring it to bear as they identify the issue or the problem facing them.
So then we've talked about leadership. Now what next is servant leadership?
Well, servant leadership, you see it sometimes in society and businesses and so on, where the leader of the company or leader of the corporation is very sensitive to those relationships and builds a team around them and is very compassionate and so on. That's, you can find that, but that's kind of like not the norm. But in the church, I think we want to talk about servant leadership in particular with regard to a pastor or a DCE or a lay leader who's been called to serve in a certain way in a congregation. That servant leadership takes on something different. It means all those things that I talked about before, going first and mm-hmm. and building relationships and having influence, all those things are true. But in addition to that, there are several components that make servant leadership unique, especially for the Christian. First and foremost is really recognizing that he or she is under authority. Not only do they have authority because they've been either given or mm-hmm. asked to or have been presented with this leadership position, but they're also under authority. Every pastor is under authority. Every Christian is under authority, even if they're leaders. They don't, they're not out there all by themselves in their own authority. But we're under the authority of Jesus Christ. In the case of the Christian, we're under that authority. And Jesus, too, was under authority. He was under the authority of his heavenly Father. He did nothing, he said, that he hasn't first heard from the Father. He said, what I tell you, I tell you what I have already heard from my Father. Or he said in Mark 10:45, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So he was the servant leader while he led his disciples and taught them. He recognized that he too was under authority. And that recognition leads to humility, first of all, in the leadership role, but also to a great sense of confidence, because Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore you go. And so we go with his authority.
So what are some of those primary tasks in leadership? Removing obstacles, that's one of those things, right?
Yeah, well, servant leaders are those that serve their team by removing obstacles so that their team members can be successful. One of my most important responsibilities as a senior pastor, for example, when I was in the parish, was to remove obstacles for my associate pastors or other team members so that they could get their job done. So if they needed manpower, I had the best knowledge at that time of congregation members, so who could serve best as helpers to them as they built their team. Or if they needed money, they shouldn't need to be racing around trying to fund their projects or their work. That was my job as a leader, is to make sure that they were resourced adequately with funding, that they had time to accomplish whatever tasks they were given or whatever challenges they were set upon to accomplish. And then to provide encouragement to them and to give some attaboys, but also to hold them accountable to timelines, hold them accountable to the quality of work and just whatever correction needs to take place. So those are all things. It's some management, but it's also just good leadership.
And then in servant leadership, obviously another portion of that would be to develop leaders and to find that next person who can step up and take charge, right?
Exactly. I want to put myself out of a job as a leader.
It doesn't sound right, but that's true, right?
Yeah, I want to raise someone else up so I don't have to do this all the time, or so that I can multiply my impact as a called servant of Christ. I want to multiply my impact. I mean, Jesus chose 12. It grew to 120, and it continued to expand as the church grew. And you can read about that in the book of Acts, how, you know, daily the Lord added to the number of those who were being saved, but they were also raising up leaders who were other teachers like Apollos, and they had deacons that were doing various tasks, Philip and Stephen and others. So they're always raising up new leaders and identifying those who have leadership ability to step up to that next level.
In servant leadership, what are those first that they need to do, especially in the church?
Well, I think first is first to say, I'm sorry. First to say I'm sorry when we mess up, to acknowledge that we're not perfect either. If I were to say, identify one thing that is kind of a trip for some leaders, is that either they think they know all the answers, or if they don't, they fake it. Quite frankly, we don't have everything that we need. Mm-hmm. And to acknowledge that we fall short, that we make mistakes, that's good for the relationships. It keeps those reconciled and strong. It also exercises humility, and I think that's important. We also need to be first to seek God's guidance. We need to be people of prayer, because, again, we don't have all the answers, but we know who does, and we can go to God. And so we exercise that level of leadership, that we lead others in prayer. We pray ourselves. We're looking for God's guidance and direction and his provision. And we exercise, you know, someone said that prayer is really the exercise of our total dependence upon God. And I think that's really true for leaders, that they're not dependent on their skill set or their experience or even their team. They're dependent upon the God who has called them. Another first, I think, is that leaders need to be, again, self-differentiated, set apart. They're part of the team, but they're also outside the team, so they can observe the team objectively. And they can be the first ones to address the dysfunction of the team and to say, hey, we are not hitting our targets. We are not functioning well. We are, and take responsibility for that if it's, you know, whatever we need to, but also to point out we're not functioning well because, you know, Bill, we need you to step up, or you know, you hold people accountable. So we take responsibility for that, either for goals that aren't met or failures of the team, and also then take responsibility for the resolution of those dysfunctions. We need to work all the time on that.
So talk a little bit about servant leadership and the power that you have in a position like a servant leader.
Well, I don't like to use the word power, because that's a law term. That's a man's term of power.
Sure.
I want to talk more about authority, because authority is something that's been given, as opposed to power is something that we take. So if I have authority and I exercise authority, I'm bringing people along in that authority, as opposed to power, which is more driving. And so I prefer to talk about, I've been given this responsibility, I've been given this authority to exercise in this leadership role. Other people on my team have been given authority, if I'm doing my leadership well, they've been given authority to exercise their leadership gifts in their specific areas of responsibility. So I'm the authority given to a leader, he then spreads out to his team so that they can function at a high level with authority. And so they're not asking, may I do this or can I do this? They already have authority to function in the confines of the project or the task or the team role that they carry.
And as far as failure goes, if that happens, what would you say to the leaders and the servant leaders as far as failure goes? Because you're going to run into that.
Yeah, I mean, welcome to my world, you know.
yeah, it doesn't work out all the time, does it?
Some speaker or some book I read, if you're not failing regularly, you're not trying hard enough, you know. It's probably true. But you do need, when you do fail, to acknowledge that. But I love what John Maxwell said about failure. If you take failure personally and you get down on yourself and you beat yourself up and you say, not only did I fail, but I'm a failure. He says, if you take failure personally, it's a pretty good sign that you would take success personally too. Like, look what I did. Mm-hmm. I accomplished this. And both of those have to do with pride. And so we want to, again, try and work with humility, be in humility as a leader, and say, you know, if we succeed, it's because we succeeded together under God's grace. We exercised the gifts that he gave us. We were humbly working with one another, and we accomplished the goals that we believe God set before us to do. And isn't God awesome? And I'm thankful for the gifts that he gave my team. And so you really try and spread out the praise, as well as just feeling good about God using you.
And John Maxwell is one of those guys that you look to, especially when it comes to servant leadership and leadership.
Yeah, I mean, you have to use a sieve a little bit when you read John. John Maxwell has written so much, and when you write that much, you're bound to say something worthwhile. And he has said many things worthwhile. But again, use a sieve when you read John Maxwell. But do read him and gather and garner some material. I highly recommend his books in general. And specifically, there's a couple like the 360-degree leader, mm-hmm. you know, and a couple others where he is really trying to help leaders discern and how to raise up additional leaders. He's got a whole pyramid of leadership development that he works through, and it's really very helpful to think about.
All right. Anybody else that you would recommend that people should look to?
Well, just a quick book, and there's lots of them out there. And you can go to your Christian bookstore and find a lot of things on leadership. Mm-hmm. They might actually be more on management than on leadership. But one small book that I've been, you know, thankful for in my ministry was Ted Engstrom and Paul Cedar's book, Compassionate Leadership. And the subtitle is Rediscovering Jesus' Radical Leadership Style. It's so small, but it's so helpful. It gets you thinking, gets the juices flowing in thinking through some things.
All right, well, Rob, we want to thank you for joining us today. And it gave us a lot to think about, a lot to pray about when it comes to servant leadership. We thank you for helping us out in that regard.
Well, you're very welcome. It's a joy to visit with you.
And thank you so much for listening today to this week's Thought Leader Podcast. We'll